Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
Verily, I am Justin.
And I'm Chad.
In a world full of chest-high walls, be the detachable sentry gun. Just go around laughing maniacally and spraying your insanity all over everyone else.
In a world.
I want to thank our sponsors before they say goodbye. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything Geek Sheet. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're frankly weird, you can find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com and Gamefly. They've got membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And you can sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at the top of deepcavepodcast.com. Gentlemen, how are we?
Caffeinated.
So far, so good.
All right. Well, while Justin caffeinates himself, Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
So do you like Dark Souls, but it's just too dark? You know?
No.
Do you like Skyrim, but there's just too much lore?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you like Mario, but it's just a little bit too easy to jump in and play whenever you want?
That jerk.
Well, here's Morbid, the Lords of Ire, to answer all your queries. Telling you nothing, being as difficult as Dark Souls, and putting save points further away than Schwarzenegger's chances at president of the U.S., this is one of those demos that tells me early on, get good, scrub, and then slaps me around a little bit. Thing is, I don't want to get good. I want to be able to lower the difficulty to something that's pleasant for me to play. Are there times I want a challenge? Of course there are times I want a challenge. And for those times, I play Minecraft in survival mode. Most of the time, I want my video games to be a power fantasy. I want to spend about 3 levels where the enemies are super easy because you're in the training mode, and then the rest of the game where the enemies are super easy because I'm just more powerful than they are. Biggest criticism of the Spider-Man games is that I can't turn off cardboard mode. Am I supposed to believe that Spider-Man is donkey kicking some 20-something halfway off the screen, and then the dude's just getting up and doing anything except fouling his pants and running away? Nah, fam. So anyway, when it comes to Morbid Lords of Ire, no, I didn't much like the demo. But this... I thought I would. And that hurts. Because sometimes I like that kind of measured combat, but this one just struck out. It looks good, it seems to play pretty good, it's just not for me. In that regard, I guess it's a good demo, because it informed me for free that I should not pay real actual dollars in order to play it. So if you're into the Soulsborne games, and you want a brighter art style, it's probably the right game for you. Otherwise, I'm going to say this is a just-the-demo kind of game.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'm glad that the demo was at least informative in that regard.
Absolutely.
So. All right. Justin.
Yo.
So, you know, as a company, we don't really monitor people's browsing history, but I have noticed that there's been a lot of, well, attempts to get to Reddit. First, it's Redfin, and then it's like Red, and then Red with 3 Ds. But you did make it. Reddit. What have you been doing on there?
Ah, thank you for asking. So I don't get to play many video games, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge I think is useful to the gaming community. And so I go to Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think deserve a solid answer in a little segment that I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. This month's question is, I didn't write it down, let me open it up. there it is. Help me. Right!
Oh, and he's gone. Oh, okay, he's gone.
Forgot my phone.
Oh, yep. Man, you know, I just polished these floors.
How do I get to Reddit Ask Games in the physical world?
Seattle, Washington, I think.
I don't know, but I'm going to pick up my coffee cup again, because if he hits the table like he did the last time, I don't. I'm going to end up with a lap full of very hot caffeine.
Yeah.
Okay, so flight to Seattle doesn't leave for another 3 hours. So, okay, I'm just going to. If it's an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Otherwise, yeah, I got time to kill.
Okay. That was an experience.
You know what? Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind. And
except it wasn't for us. For no, you and me, that was theater.
That was very real is what that was. So,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
House is big, isn't it?
This is a big house.
It's a big house. So I'm going to speak a little slowly to give Justin a few seconds to catch his breath as I say that the Ask Justin segment is not the only thing that Justin does during the gaming segment.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered that a mummy and a zombie are really just the same thing from two different socioeconomic backgrounds?
Ooh.
All right, I think he's back.
That puts Night of the Living Dead and the Mummy in a different perspective.
I'm here for you, man.
You're right. Damn.
Have you been playing anything?
Yes.
Okay.
So this month's shallow save file, which if you're unfamiliar, I go through Gamefly's catalog. I find a game that I think will be interesting based solely on the cover art. I put it in my queue. It shows up at my house in a postage paid envelope. Pop it in my machine. And I play it.
We really should get them to sponsor this segment.
And with the exception of one game, I played for about 10 minutes. I eject it, and I put it back in the postage paid envelope for my mailbox.
Okay.
This month's game is Why Won't You Die?
Hold on, that's your commentary on the game?
No, that's the name of the game.
Huh.
All right.
It is, I don't want to say old person simulator, but you play as a very old person.
Oh, no.
I'm aware of this game. I forgot the title.
Your main goal for the first level is to get kicked out of your crappy nursing home.
So it's Untitled Goose Game, but with the aged?
I will describe it in a minute. Once you get kicked out of the nursing home, it is an open world scenario. You are given a, quote, bucket list. Those are your goals.
Procedurally generated or the same every game?
Probably the same every game. So imagine open world like Grand Theft Auto.
I'm there.
Add in the character movement mechanics of Human Fall Flat.
Or Quap.
And the absurdity of the situation like Untitled Goose Game. But add in the wanton violence, destruction, and bloodlust of Happy Tree Friends.
Okay.
All right.
With a little bit of late 80s, definitely early to mid 90s, late night MTV cartoons. At one point, my old person was nothing more than a torso, and I was still rolling around the street and able to move.
Huh.
Because my health meter was still just that much full.
Hmm. Okay.
Around. Wow. It has a dedicated taunt button.
Of course. Why wouldn't
in
it?
In which your old person will gyrate their hips and go, in order to elicit various responses. Sometimes it frightens people. Other times it gets the shit kicked out of you.
What platform?
I got this for the, I think it was on a PS4.
Okay. So, PlayStation family. Got it.
Yeah. You can probably get it on Microsoft.
Yeah, you can probably get it on Xbox or PC. And
probably not Switch.
Probably not, but never say never.
Never say never.
Yeah.
So, it ejected. So, by Darren's standards, it gets a point.
Okay.
It loaded, it played, it ejected.
Well, I mean, how long did you play it for?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay. So
you get no instructions. So it took me easily 10 minutes to get out of the nursing home. And then another 10 minutes of just wandering around, no clue what to do. I ended up in an area that I didn't know was there. And oh, lo and behold, that was a check on the bucket list. I'm like,
all right. Good deal.
Okay.
Wow, man. Wow.
Cheers. Thank you for playing that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. No, cheers.
Norm!
Cheers is one of the bucket list things.
Yeah. So you're welcome.
Thank you. So by the time that this podcast reaches your beautiful ears, dear listener, I will be thigh deep into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because I'm super looking forward to that one. In fact, at the time of this taping, I am halfway through my fourth replay of Final Fantasy VII Remake because, again, really liked that game. So I played the demo. We did a live stream of it. It was good. You know, it's more Final Fantasy VII with the modern combat engine and stuff. And while it is too early for me to give you my thoughts on Rebirth, I am fairly certain that by the time you hear this episode, there will be another Twitch stream done, and there will be a Deep Cave Plays done about it, so you can find it on our YouTube channel, and I will try not to fangirl very much over it, other than the fact that I'm gonna.
Feel free.
I'm gonna. Other than that, I haven't been playing a whole lot. I've been dabbling a little bit in Gravity Circuit, which is a Mega Man-esque game, and Have a Nice Death, which you play as the Grim Reaper, who is suffering from burnout. And you've played Hollow Knight.
Yes.
So, yes. Hand-drawn, just like Hollow Knight.
Okay.
Similar art style. Similar. It's a Metroidvania, so there's a lot of exploration. And it is funny. It is such a funny game. You can play on a little bit of an easier mode, so you don't get so angry. But yeah, basically, you go through, you take out some of the rogue middle managers in Death Incorporated that have decided to go into business for themselves, lather, rinse, repeat, die, restart the whole cycle over again. But it's good. I really like it. So, Kent.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
A man works studiously at his desk inside an FBI office building when the phone rings. Hello? I think you've got the wrong number. Oh, you don't have the wrong number. Yes, sir. Erasers? You mean the foundation of democracy? Yes, sir. The White House needs its erasers, sir. The man is Nelson Tethers, and he works for the FBI's Division of Puzzle Solving. He's been ordered to the town of Scoggins, Minnesota, to find out why the factory that supplies the federal government with all of its erasers has gone quiet. So begins a dark, twisted, comedic, point-and-click adventure from the people at Telltale Games. So begins Nelson Tethers' Puzzle Agent.
Huh. Okay.
Welcome, my friends, to Darren's Pile of Shame, where I dive into the pile of untouched video games in my collection and finally make myself actually do something about that. Now, this year, I'm focusing entirely on games I completely forgot I owned. It's a series we've affectionately dubbed the Year of
Who?
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 Yeah. When it comes to Puzzle Agent, I had to do quite a bit of digging. I learned that I got this game with a bundle in 2011.
Oh my.
It's probably when I bought a different adventure game on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So Puzzle Agent, by the way, for those who are like, okay, so it's a PC game. Should I even bother? A potato could run this game. If you can load up Steam, You can run Puzzle Agent. You'll be fine, you know? So it features hand-drawn animation and character designs with thick pencil outlines and some pretty damn funny expressions. Plus, all you need is a mouse. That's it. It's also because it doesn't support controllers whatsoever, but it also doesn't support keyboards. Mouse. That's it. That's all you need. You click. You're good. Which is good, because when you're stuck on a couple of these puzzles, you're going to want something about the shape of a ball so you can throw it across the room. But I'll get to that in a minute. First, the plot. Oh, and by the way, spoilers for a game that came out in 2010. We good? All right. So when Nelson arrives in town, he's told that the factory closed down due to an unidentified accident. And for the most part, people in town aren't too keen in helping with the investigation. This set the scene pretty nice. So the first person you meet is an old man named Bjorn. It's an old guy with a beard sitting on a bench. And you pull up on your snowmobile and you ask for directions to the hotel. He gives you some instructions, and that leads to your first puzzle. You are given a map, and you have to arrange a series of logs for your snowmobile, which has no brakes, to bounce off of so you can eventually end up in front of the hotel.
All right.
Route takes you in a full circle right back in front of Bjorn because he was sitting in front of the hotel the whole time.
I want to be Bjorn when I grow up.
And that gives you an idea of the kind of puzzles and humor that you can expect. You next meet the hotel owner, who has a series of gnome statues in her window, and, well, one is missing, and she can't figure out which one. So you figure it out by looking at a photo negative of the gnomes to determine which one is facing in what direction, and therefore which one is missing backwards. And there's a throwaway line about how these things, which are called hidden people by the locals, are beloved by some and believed to be real by others. Follow that one away. We're coming back to it. Eventually, you find your way to the factory, where the town sheriff is also less than helpful. This is the kind of small town where things just sort themselves out. No big deal, right? And so he's not too concerned about the disappearance and possible murder of the factory's foreman. He even shuffles some photographic evidence around just because he knows you work for the FBI's puzzle division to see how good you are at your job. Now, throughout your investigation, you start to see things that make no sense. Tiny footprints in the snow. A glimpse of a small red creature wearing a pointy hat. And so on. You interrogate the foreman's wife, Glory, who doesn't seem too broken up over her husband's disappearance and, despite him being presumed dead, keeps referring to him in present tense. Nelson returns to the hotel and witnesses someone stealing a piece of stovepipe from the wood-burning furnace in the lobby, thus leading to another puzzle, a sliding puzzle with 32 slides. You better make that pipe work. You do eventually go after the thief, and you find him conversing with a small red man in a pointy hat standing on the back of a dumpster whispering into his ear. They look at you. You look at them. They scream. You scream. Camera immediately cuts to the front desk where you're checking out.
We all scream for ice cream.
But you find out that the sheriff has been keeping tabs on you and wanted to be alerted the second you left, therefore raising suspicions that something's fishy about this whole thing. Oh, by the way, you also discover a frozen corpse near the town's frozen lake, speaking of fishes. It leads to clues that culminate in the discovery there is a local lodge that worships the hidden people, who are indeed real, have very sharp teeth, and the foreman, Isaac, is alive, still inside the factory. He was chosen. Chosen for what? They never say.
The claw!
Probably at this point. So, the hidden people speak to the town's residents through puzzles. That's why every time you encounter someone, there's a puzzle to solve.
So it's Professor Layton, but kinda less polished.
Professor Layton, less polished, and a little bit more sinister.
Right on.
Yeah. It's a clever canonical explanation for why there are so many. Some of these puzzles include figuring out what inside a man's stomach is a rubber band and what is a tapeworm. Spoiler, there are a lot of tapeworms.
You just pull them all.
No, it's another one of those rotating puzzles.
Oh.
Now, eventually Nelson gets a gun held to his head by the sheriff because he's getting too close to solving this particular puzzle. That's the closest approximation I have to the guy's voice. but he's able to escape by tossing a crossword puzzle on the ground, and the sheriff goes straight up Gollum as he, you know, snatches it and huddles in the corner, scribbling furiously on it. It's disturbing. You finally get into that factory, you solve a few more puzzles, including how do you get a giant eraser to move when it's blocking a catwalk? You cut line number 6. And you find out that the foreman has gone insane after the hidden people gave him an endless string of puzzles to solve. You try to rescue him, but he's dragged away into some dark corner by those creepy little bastards. And shortly afterward, the factory starts back up again all on its own. You're called back to Washington. The day is saved. Congratulations, we've got our erasers again. What about the missing foreman? That's an issue for local law enforcement. Don't worry about it.
Huh.
That's the plot.
Wow.
Now, the gameplay.
Oh, shit.
Don't worry, it's not nearly as long. Your mileage may vary, depending on how much patience you have. Some puzzles are simple. Others are frustratingly vague. You remember that line in Monty Python, like, what if two birds were carrying a coconut if they had it strung with a line of creeper?
What? Under their dorsal guidance feather?
Yeah. That's an actual puzzle.
Actual puzzle.
Yeah, you get a photograph of a series of birds carrying these little gnome figures, but some of the packages are not see-through, and so you have to determine how many little figures are being carried. And so here's the instructions. Each bird is carrying the maximum amount of weight possible. If birds team up, they can split the load, each carrying his maximum. Figure out just how many statues each bird is carrying. Now, the game immediately breaks its own rules by showing one duck carrying 3 items and another carrying 2. But each can carry its own maximum. So what's the maximum? Is it 2 or is it 3? Because it's one duck each, and they're both carrying a different load, but they're both always carrying the maximum load, and so you see my problem.
Well, Chad and I are both humans,
But
he can probably lift more than I can.
I know, but like it's one of those where, like, judging from the image, it's almost impossible to tell.
Not all ducks are the same, Darren. You should...
Others, usually...
Some, the corkscrew of their penis goes the other way.
Exactly.
And they don't get to mate.
Exactly.
You know, there are other puzzles that are logic puzzles. I'm just going to...
Yeah, just keep on going, man.
They have more than one actual solution, but the game will only accept one solution.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Such as there's 6 people sitting at a table. Only one of them ordered food that resembles themselves. No one ordered food that resembles their spouse, but the person next to the banana split gets ham. But there's 2 people next to the banana split, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But still, if you're into using your brain...
I'm not.
There's plenty to like here. The game does offer you the ability to get a couple of hints if you're stuck, but the cost is lowering your overall score. And by that, I mean it costs more taxpayer dollars to get to the correct answer, because you get to see how many taxpayer dollars you spent with every question you answer. The best you can do per question is $75,000. A lot of taxpayer money.
Wow.
The writing is clever. The puzzles are, for the most part, good, and the art works for what they're going for. It's not perfect, but and again, no controller support. But you can see the kernels of what would eventually make Telltale games who we know from The Walking Dead, from Batman, from The Wolf Among Us, that kind of thing. So you can pick it up right now for $5 on Steam. Puzzle Agent is well worth your time, because I can hate a game for $5. Absolutely. So... with nothing further, be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including DK Podcast Comics, which went up yesterday, and DK Podcast Movies, which goes up tomorrow if you're listening to these in chronological order. There's also You Want Me to Watch What and the Week 3 podcast. We have the occasional TLDR, and you can check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/DK Podcast for live streams. We've also got DK Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel, and you can find all of those links, plus links to our social media channels at DKPodcast.com. Now, while you're at your website, be sure to join our Discord server. You can chat with us one-on-one, meet other DK fans, share your ideas, get early access to new episodes, and more. For Kent Crossword Puzzle Harris, Justin Telestrations White, and Chad Rubik's Cube Savage, I'm Darren Wright, who goes in the square hole. And remember, everyone is a geek for something.